the rest of the story. Robert kept his miserable cell in the Prune Street jail as tidy as possible, no telling when somebody might come to see him. But nobody came to see him. Bitterly, he recalled the days when the line outside his office stretched all the way into the street. People needed him then. They wanted something from him then. How soon, when at last misfortune was his, how soon did they forget? But then one day, after an interminable time of solitude had passed, the jailer called in, "Mr. Morris, you have a visitor." And an old friend entered solemnly. By contrast to Robert's dismal environs, the man standing before him looked particularly splendid, from his immaculate buff-and-blue uniform with the shining epaulets down to the gleaming spurs on his mirror-polished boots. He radiated a grandeur the prisoner had nearly forgotten. "Would you stay and have dinner with me?" Robert asked. The friend turned to the jailer. The jailer nodded. And thus, in a dark, musty cell, with twilight reaching in through a barred window, did the two men sit and dine and speak of old times. Robert's friend, not wishing to show pity, was nonetheless moved by the gaunt, almost ghostly figure now haunting that room. For Robert's vigor was once famous. Indeed, he had once held a fledgling nation together. For you see, the friend who had come to Philadelphia and to the Prune Street jail to comfort one prisoner in 1798, that friend was the father of the nation and its retired first president, George Washington. But the prisoner, Robert Morris, was that nation's superintendent of finance before Cornwallis had even surrendered. Robert Morris was more than one of the richest men in the American colonies. He was a financial wizard. His skill in that endeavor has been called miraculous. Even Washington himself referred to it as magic. Seemed almost logical to our forefathers then that Morris would work those same wonders with a public cause on the brink of broke. Appointed superintendent of finance in 1781, he promptly set about that considerable task with the same zeal that had catapulted him from penniless to prosperous, that had created for him an opulent country estate and a Philadelphia mansion which became the social and commercial hub of the pre-United States. He was involved in every financial venture from banking and shipping to land speculation, enterprises so commanding of public confidence that when Congress's own credit needed backing up, Morris did it by printing his own money, notes which were immediately accepted at a premium over continental paper currency. In fact, did you know that once when the Revolutionary Army could no longer meet its payroll, Robert Morris personally paid the soldiers to keep fighting for the cause that gave birth to our freedom? But now, whenever you hear his name, you'll remember something else. That toward the end of his illustrious life, Robert Morris, who once pulled a nation back from the brink of fiscal oblivion single-handed, Robert Morris was imprisoned for 3 years after his own private finances collapsed, thrown into the Prune Street jail like a common criminal for debt, a debtor's prison, because our nation's most generous patriot had no money left to pay his own bills. And now you know the rest of the story.